Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about some work that I've been doing along with a couple of professors of mine in the Department of Global Health and Population at Harvard at the School of Public Health. And so what I'm going to talk to you about today is looking at some of the determinants, some of the variation in child mortality in Accra, Ghana, and some of the determinants of child mortality in that area. So the motivation for the study there's a lot of motivation for the study. We know already that more than 50% of the world's population is currently estimated to live in urban areas today. Health gains in urban areas, and I would say especially even in developing countries, health gains have outpaced health gains that have been made in recent decades in rural areas. And UN Habitat estimates that about 1 billion of the 6 billion people in the world today live in slums. This is roughly about 1 in 3 people around the world. And the main sort of motivating question behind the research that I'm going to present to you today is the real question of whether people in slum areas are worse off than other urban residents. It's something that I think many of us assume is true, but actually we don't have very good data to really look at this quantitatively and really actually be able to have precise estimates to distinguish this. The area that I'm going to talk about today is in Accra, Ghana. The slum area that we have data for consists of 37 census enumeration areas. These areas were ranked as slums, and I put slums, I use it sort of with and without quotes, but knowing that it's a definition, there's different opinions on what slums actually are and definitions and so on. I'm going to sort of brush over that for the purpose of my talk. But UN Habitat basically took all the enumeration areas in the city of Accra, there are about 1,700, and looked at the census data and looked at the housing characteristics of the households in those areas and basically ranked them according to dwelling characteristics, access to water, sanitation, and those sort of basic indicators of households. So there were about 200 or so enumeration areas that were at the bottom of the list. And of those 200, 37 were selected, this was in 2003, to be surveyed. So I have several different survey data sets that I'll explain. So the areas in Accra, these 37 enumeration areas are spread around the city, and you can see some of them are much larger than others. In general, enumeration areas are drawn to confine about 250 households. So the smaller the enumeration area, the more densely settled the population is. And you can see that density really, hopefully you can see in the back, the density really does change around the city. So the data sources that we are using for this work come from that first study that I mentioned, the UN Habitat study that was done in 2003. This was initially designed as an add-on to the Demographic and Health Survey of 2003. It was actually carried out separately, and that was carried out by UN Habitat and the government of Ghana, the Ghana Statistical Services. That survey, the data in that survey are on about shy of 700 women aged 15 to 49. That live within 759 households, and the standard DHS 2003 questionnaire was used. If any of you are familiar with that survey or the DHS, they did do HIV testing in 2003 in Ghana, but they did not do HIV testing in this population. But the rest of the survey was basically the same. The second source of data for the slum areas comes from a survey that I carried out with my professors in Ghana in the past year in collaboration with the University of Ghana at Lagan. We went back to those same 37 enumeration areas. We couldn't go back to the same individuals because they were not consented in 2003 to be able to go back and re-interview people, and we didn't have access to those identifiers, but we did go back to the same 37 enumeration areas, and we interviewed a total of about 2,000 women in roughly 1,300 households. We used, for comparability, we used basically the 2008 demographic and health survey questionnaire. There were some additional components that I don't have time to go into today that we added. We added the short form 36 questions, which aren't typically asked in the DHS, some questions about self-rated health, and other things that unfortunately I don't have time to go into today, but maybe another time. So the housing and welfare study of Accra, this study was really designed to be comparable to the UN Habitat and the DHS survey of 2003 so that we'd have sort of a time period one and a time period two source of data. And our survey, the main training was carried out in the fall of 2009, and our data collection spanned just about 6 months. We entered the data using CS Pro and Accra Ghana, and we did cleaning and editing mostly at Harvard. So that's for the slum areas. For the non-slum areas, we are basically using the standard DHS, the 2003 and the 2008. Now, the 2003 DHS survey was carried out in non-slum areas, or in other words, excluding those 37 enumeration areas, because those were to be done separately. So the entire population that was surveyed in 2003 in Ghana was comprised of other enumeration areas that weren't considered to be slums. In 2008, we have, actually from both surveys, we have the enumeration area identifiers from DHS, and so we've been able to match them up to ensure the sample that we're using from 2008 is not overlapping with our enumeration areas. So we have four pieces of data, two time periods, two from the time period one, which are the slum areas and the non-slum areas, and two from the time period two, which are the slum areas and the non-slum areas. Both of those DHS surveys were carried out by Macro International in collaboration with the Ghana Health Services and the Ghana Statistical Services. So those areas are also spread out throughout the country, and so you can see the original 37 slum EAs, again, that were surveyed in the two time points, and then the DHS, which are not the same enumeration areas over time, but they're both representative samples of the non-slum areas around the city. So in 2003, excuse me, it was the green squares that you see, and in 2008, it was the purple triangles. And even though those, some of those look like they're overlapping with the slums, they actually are distinct enumeration areas. It's just the scale of the map that you that is not entirely clear. So they're roughly spread around the city, and so that's the data that we're using. So we have two main sources of information. One comes from a household questionnaire, which contains, again, information on dwelling characteristics, water and sanitation, assets, etc. And then an individual questionnaire, which was administered to all eligible women. The 2003 data, we have data from women aged 15 to 49. In our study, in the Haas study, we actually went all the way up. We didn't stop at 49. We have data on women up to, actually, age 100 or over 100. The aged population, or the population over 49, if I can call them that, are actually a very small percentage of our total sample size, and I'm not including them in the analysis that I'm showing you today, but we hope to go back to them later. One of the drawbacks of DHS has many positive things, but one of the drawbacks is that it is constrained to women of reproductive ages, and now, especially with changes in demographic patterns around the world, we need more information about older people, and we don't have that in the DHS, which is an aside. So the basic kind of descriptive statistics, the populations, the slum areas, so I'm comparing, I've got two sets of columns here. In 2003, basically what I want to show you here is that the non-slum and the slum areas look pretty similar in terms of their basic demographic characteristics. the breakdown of age, the groups in those, in other words, the slum population is not particularly older or not particularly younger than the non-slum population. Education, educational attainment is fairly similar. I don't have confidence intervals here, but essentially these numbers are the same. One of the things that we really wanted to look at more with the slum data is mobility, because one of the things that we see, at least in the data that we've collected, is that the slum population moves a lot. And so the DHS doesn't ask many questions about migration, in fact, none, maybe one if you could count number of years in current place of residence. So we've compared that. The slum areas, at least in 2003, look a little bit different from the non-slum areas. We have a smaller percentage of people that say they've lived in their current place of residence less than 5 years, and a larger proportion that say they've lived there always. But in 2008, in the DHS, in 2009, 2010, our sample size is much bigger, and we see much more of a difference in terms of the number of years of current place of residence. The percent of the population that's lived in that place for less than 5 years is about half compared to the previous time period, which is smaller. And the percent of people that say they've lived there always is actually smaller. So what's happening is there's a lot more movement in between those time periods. So the overall, the unadjusted mortality differences, these are life table measures of mortality. And again, the sample size, you know, in spite of the fact we collected, you know, quite a fair amount of data in the slum areas in 2009, 2010. But when you want to look at children under 5 or children under 1, you really start dropping down in terms of numbers. And you can see in the DHS data, the numbers are quite small, and the confidence intervals reflect that. So if you look at, for example, non-slums in the earlier time period, the 5 years prior to the survey in 2003, we have only about 325 children to base these estimates on. The infant mortality rate is about 37 per thousand, and the under 5 mortality rate is 65 per thousand. And if you look at the slum areas in that same time period, what I've highlighted in pink is where the slum area estimate is higher than the non-slum area. But actually, these differences are not statistically significantly different. But the trend is generally higher. So again, you can see, at least from the unadjusted estimates, the mortality rates in slum areas are higher than in the non-slum areas, but the differences don't appear to be significant. So I am running out of time, but I'll just say a little bit about some adjusted estimates of mortality. We basically split the mortality rate into the infant mortality 0 to 1, the probability of dying between the age of 0 and 1, and then the child mortality rate, the probability of dying between the age of 1 and 4, because the determinants of mortality for those two different age groups are quite different. These are just very simple models, and again, we're still working on this, but the very simple model, these are just logit estimates of the probability of dying by age 1. The sample size is probably quite small, and that may explain why the differences are not, the estimates, none of the estimates have are significant. So trends might be what we would expect, but it's not not looking very promising, at least for this model. Looking at the model of the probability of dying between the age of 1 and 5, on the other hand, our sample size is larger, so that probably helps us. Age of the mother is certainly a factor, a significant factor, whether or not the birth is a multiple birth. In neither of these two models do we see an effect of the length of residence on the effect of on the probability of dying. Again, we're still working on this, and we have a lot more information in the Haws about a lot of different moves, and we haven't been able to incorporate that into our analysis yet, but we're expecting that we're going to be able to sort of tease out much more of a story from this data rather than just what we have in the simple in the simple results. So in conclusion, I guess I should say this is definitely still a work in progress. There are limited inferences that we can make because these are all cross-sectional data. We certainly see evidence of a lot of movement of the population in the slum areas, and so it's hard, at least at this point, to see that it really makes sense to sort of pool all those estimates and compare them. But we plan to further explore the slum data that we collected in the past year to try to tease out some of those effects of movement and other things. So that's it.
Take about 3 minutes for questions.
Okay. Any questions? Yeah.
Can you tell us some about the context of how breathing variables are affecting childhood mortality?
Of how, sorry?
Some of these groups, the age of the mother.
Oh, yeah. So we haven't actually looked about the water and sanitation. Yeah, so we haven't actually put all of those into the model yet, but we do know that the housing characteristics are definitely a lot worse in the slum population, but there's still quite a bit of variation. So there's a lot of, one of the things actually that some other collaborators on this work have been looking at is the source of water, the source of drinking water, and what we're seeing in Accra, at least in the last few years, is that people who maybe used to have only access to water that was from a standpipe or had to store it, get it, and then take it, and then store it, and then it would be kind of at risk to get polluted, are now buying sachets, what they call sachets. So people are drinking water out of these little plastic bags, and it's actually quite clean. But these are the poorest people because it's sort of a strange dichotomy that they are, that those water things are really cheap and they don't have access to other water, so they pay a little bit more, even though overall it costs them more. They're actually paying a little bit more, but they're getting water that's cleaner. So there's more to be done on that. Any more questions? Yes.
I was a bit surprised in the age structure of the population of the slum and the non-slum are quite similar, which is a bit strange.
Yeah.
Because basically people from the slum, maybe they are coming from somewhere else. So when they are coming to look for opportunities, so it's sort of quite
close. Yeah.
And if you look at the average length of stay, which is 5 years, so basically you should have different population structure as you have for the poor country.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And the length of stay is basically also very, very important child survival factor.
Yeah.
And we do have a number of papers, because I work in Kenya for several years, when we specifically follow up the slum population.
Yeah, yeah.
Several years, and we have several papers recognize the impact of length of stay and all the
Yeah, no, I'd love to look at some of that, because I think, you know, again, it's there are few opportunities to really look at detailed information on movement and migration and moving patterns and how that might affect child mortality. So that's very true. I think on the population, the structure, not just the age structure, but probably the sex structure of the population, we were actually very surprised that we found, we thought we were going to have many more households that were men only, or households that didn't have women of the age range that we wanted, which was basically 18 plus. And we saw evidence of that from the earlier DHS surveys. But what we found when we went to the 37 enumeration areas, that we had a lot more houses that had women that actually had men missing, so to speak, or not present in the household. So we were actually really struck by that. So it's something that we need to look at more carefully. We do have a household roster, and I didn't present results from that, but that would probably help to fill in that context about what this population is.
Yeah, and part so, of the position of Islam. Because what you
yeah.
see in terms of differences, they're more or less similar. So something might have to look at the position.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.